cose sospettavo.
The makers of Epic Pure Sunflower Oil, Purine and Pret Cooking Fat, Yum Yum Peanut Butter, Maple Margarine, and Niblet's Cheese Twists present The Epic Casebook. In which Inspector Carr investigates.
Looking at my notes for tonight's story, it's occurred to me that although Dr. Bertillon, head of the Paris Criminal Records Office, has rightly been credited with being the originator of the fingerprint system in crime detection, the fact remains that the system was very much in the experimental stage and couldn't be regarded as at all satisfactory until the year 1898, when a Mr. Henry, Inspector General of Police in Bengal, devised a system which made the classification of fingerprints foolproof. Mr. Henry, later Sir Charles Edward Henry, became Commissioner of Metropolitan Police in the year 1903. Of course, since then, the whole method of indexing, filing, and identifying fingerprints has improved enormously. In Great Britain alone, the total number of fingerprints held on record is well over 2 million. Of course, when a man leaves his fingerprints behind, it's of no use to the police unless they have a record of such prints. In other words, a means of comparing the culprit's prints with what they've got on their files. It stands to reason that if the man commits an act of burglary and leaves his fingerprints behind, if he hasn't had a previous conviction and there's no record at the fingerprint section, his identity remains unknown. But this wasn't the case with a man known to the underworld as Slapsy Mitchell. When Farley Hall was broken into and Sir Edward Farley shot dead, Mitchell's fingerprint was much in evidence. He was arrested and charged. I've called my story Identification for Death. Farley Hall is a large country residence nestling amongst the Chiltern Hills in the county of Gloucestershire. Being outside the metropolitan area, the shooting and the theft was of academic interest only, or so I thought. Car?
Operations here, sir.
Yes, officer.
Farley murder.
Huh? What about it? Well, it can't be asking us for assistance. The man's been arrested.
Well, it's Mrs. Mitchell, sir. She's phoned twice while you were out. Wants to know if you'll see her.
Oh, dear. Mrs. Mitchell. Yes, I remember her. Slapsy married her soon after he came out of Brixton for the Bayswater job. Probably wants me to give evidence for her husband in mitigation. Well, I'll see her. Fix the time for 3 o'clock this afternoon. Yes?
Councillor, please.
Thanks very much.
Oh, come and sit down, Mrs. Mitchell.
Good of you to see me, sir.
Not a bit. I haven't forgotten your many little kindnesses when I was a sergeant at Vine Street and you managed the Regent Cafe.
Yeah.
Look, I'm sorry, Mrs. Mitchell. I really am. I thought Slaps had gone straight.
But he had. Slaps,
now, let's be honest with each other, Mrs. Mitchell. I'm not going by the newspapers. I read a clear and comprehensive account of the investigation and the arrest of your husband in the police review. He's guilty as all get out.
He's been framed, I tell you.
Framed? No, Mrs. Mitchell. I'm afraid you'll have to face up to the fact that the evidence against Slaps is too strong.
What have they got against Slapsy? His fingerprints on that cigarette lighter. You know Slapsy. All right, he's been a crook all his life. But would somebody with Slapsy's experience leave his fingerprints lying around?
Oh, well, frankly, that surprised me when I read about it. There was a blow-up facsimile of the print in our weekly review. Oh, it's Slapsy's all right. I suppose everyone makes a mistake. A silly mistake once in their lives. I'm sorry for you, Mrs. Mitchell.
Don't be. Be sorry for my husband.
Hmm?
He's no murderer. He never carried a gun in his life. It's a frame-up, I tell you. No one will believe him.
Look, from what I can understand, Slapsy denied being anywhere near Farley at the time Sir Edward was shot. And then, when he was confronted with an eyewitness, he admitted that he was in the district. Oh, what's the use, Rose Mitchell? An innocent man was shot dead. And are you asking me to condone murder?
He's not a murderer. He's been nabbed 4 times. Did he ever resist? Has Slapsy ever been violent?
Have you been to see him?
Yeah, I went to see him. I can't get nothing out of him. Just says that he's been a fool. He didn't carry a gun, and he didn't kill no one.
Half an hour, Mrs. Mitchell.
You've got a visitor.
Rosie.
Slapsy. Oh, what have you done?
It's not true. It's all Stewie. Someone's framing me.
You lied when they first come up to the house, didn't you? You said you'd never been to Farley. Didn't know where it was. Now you say you did go there, but you didn't shoot no one. That was the night you said you were going to play poker with the boys. And I was wondering if you were seeing some woman. Oh, Slapsy. Slapsy, what have you done?
Nothing, I tell you, nothing. Listen, Rosie, when I married you, I promised to go straight. Well, I have, haven't I?
Have you, Slapsy? Oh, you fool. You fool. Why did you have to do it? All right, we were short of money, but it wasn't...
Well, listen, kid, listen proper. I love you, and I'm not lying to you. As true as there's heaven above, I didn't shoot this guy. I didn't know nothing about it. All right, I did a breaking job. But I wore gloves. They must be crazy to think that me, Slapsy Mitchell, could do such a stupid thing as to leave his fingerprints behind.
This gun. They found a gun.
Gun?
They say it's yours.
You think I'll be mug enough to carry a gun? Don't you know that means the difference between 3 and 15 years if you're caught?
But they're saying you murdered...
I murdered no one. Do you hear me, Rosie? No one. I'll swear to that to me dying day. It looks as though that might be quite soon, don't it, Rose?
Don't talk like that. What does the lawyer say?
Harris, he thinks I'm guilty. He asked me to confess, say I fired blindly. I didn't mean to hurt no one. It ain't true.
This stuff you took out of the safe.
I took nothing. They think I've all sorted it away. Carr!
Carr?
He's big stuff now. Chief Inspector Carr. Nabbed me for the third job when he was a sergeant. Now go to him, Rosie. I read about him. He's one of the big five in the murder squad. He'll know I wouldn't do such a stupid thing like this as to leave behind fingerprints. Let alone bump off someone and leave a gun behind.
So that's why I'm here, Mr. Carr. Slapsy thinks if you talk to him, he'll be able to convince you that he's innocent.
I looked across the desk at this pleasant-faced, supplicating woman gazing at me with tear-filled eyes, and I knew with a sense of certainty that something had indeed gone wrong, that a man like Mitchell would not commit the crimes for which he was being held in custody, awaiting trial. Mrs. Mitchell, the shooting of Sir Edward Farley and the subsequent arrest of your husband is a matter for the Gloucestershire police. Any interference on my part would be resented, and rightly so.
Mr. Carr, would you let an innocent man...
That is not innocent. He admits to breaking and entering. I tell you what I'll do. I'll put a call through to the superintendent of the Gloucester CID.
It's nice to hear your voice, Carr. Been a long time since the Croxton affair. I've always been grateful to you for your help.
Not a bit, Super. I'm ringing about the Farley murder.
Oh, yes, Lapsy Mitchell. Open and shut case, thank goodness. He must have come under your eye at one time or another, surely.
Yes, I got him time for a cap job. I've been reading about it in the review. Do you mind if I travel down, talk to Mitchell? I don't want to put anybody's nose out of joint, but... I'm keenly interested. What makes an experienced old lag like Mitchell do a thing like that?
Well, we've got a beautiful fingerprint on the cigarette lighter. We're keeping it dark until the trial.
All right, Mitchell. On your feet.
Hello, Slapsy. Remember me?
Well, they told me you were coming down. I'm grateful, Governor.
Thank you, Wardy. You needn't wait. I'll give you a sharp when I'm through.
Very good, sir. I'll have to lock you in, sir. Regulations.
That's fair enough. All right, Stacey. Let's have it. And if you try to make a monkey out of me, I'll...
I'm not trying to make a monkey out of no one. Of course I lied at first. When the busies came for me at first, I didn't know of any shooting. I didn't think they had anything on me.
So you denied breaking into Farley Hall?
Well, of course I did, Governor. As soon as I read of the shooting in the robbed safe, I knew I'd been taken for a sucker. Me! At my time of life.
Well, I thought you were going straight.
Well, so did I. You don't earn much money lugging carpets about. When young Christopher was born, and there was money for Rosie's op, and she's had a bad time as Rosie. Well, I wanted to send her on holiday. Well, a dozen times the white boys have been at me asking me to do a job, and every time I've said no.
Yeah.
And now this had to happen. I'm grateful that you're here. I'm scared what's going to happen to Rosie and the kid.
Shouldn't you have thought of that before you... All right. What happened? You say you were framed. Now start from the beginning.
Well, about 3 weeks ago, the landlord comes round and says if we don't pay something to what we owed him, he'd throw us out in the street. So I went along to... Well, I've got to grass. I don't want to, but I don't want to be put away for the rest of my life.
I haven't got all day, Slapsy, and don't give me any of your underworld ethics. If somebody's framed you, then name him, or I will walk out of this cell and you stew in your own...
All right, Governor, all right. Buster Burford.
Buster, eh? Is he still running the Burford car mart?
Yes. Well, I went along to see him.
All right, Ted, you can leave that scrap.
Hello. Slapsy, as I live and breathe.
Can I talk to you, Buster?
Oh, of course. Come in the office. Cool, I haven't seen you in a month of Sundays. Here, where you been keeping yourself? In here.
Ah. Nice office, eh? Eh? You wouldn't expect to see furniture like this in a second-hand car dealer's office, would you now, eh? Well, what is it, Slapsy? Yeah, you're not the same man who sat next to me sewing mailbags.
I need 50 quid. Landlord got a court order against me.
50 nicker. The greatest cat man in the country, having to make a touch for 50 nicker. Whew. Is it that bad?
It's worse.
Here, you come as manna from heaven. Now, first of all, I'll never refuse to help an old chum. Here's your 50.
Thanks, Buster. I won't forget it. I'll pay it back.
Here. How'd you like to earn 1,000? 1,000 Chimio goblins with 100 quid on account.
Well, it's good of you, Buster, but...
No, it's not like that at all. Doesn't concern any of the boys, you see. Now, this is high-class lady what sent some love letters to a guy named Sir Edward Farley. Hoo-hoo. Shows you what class we're talking about, eh? It's a simple 8-digit safe. Well, for a guy like you, it's like taking money from a blind man.
No, thanks,
sir. And don't be a mug. There's no hot loot to get rid of. It's not stealing. It's what you might call saving a woman's honour. Yeah, what was that guy's name, Robin Hood, eh? Don't be a fool, Slapsy. Look, I was asked at the club by a private eye if I knew anyone who could do the job without leaving any mess or clues behind. Well, I said there's only one man in the country who's the acknowledged master. Well, I said that after they showed me a photo of the place. It's easy, I tell you. Drain pipes, ledges. Slapsy, 1,000 quid. And you're to take nothing but the letters. Now, is that such a crime?
You're telling me the truth.
On my son's life, Governor.
Huh? What happened?
Well, our kid's Rosie, I was going to an all-night poker game. Showed her 100 quid I'd got in advance. Told her my luck could turn. Well, breaking into Farley Hall was kid stuff. Oh, 8 digits, I said. Here we are.
Who's that?
Oh, no. No!
It had all the classic hallmarks of the frame-up. I believed Slapsy, so far. So, you heard some crash of glass, and then what?
Well, I was out of that place and down the drainpipe within 3 seconds flat.
Did you take the letters?
No, I didn't see no letters. The safe was filled with all sorts of books and what looked like documents. I just scarpered.
Then what did you do?
Well, Buster loaned me a little two-seater. I jumped into that and drove back to his yard, dumped the car and went home. And 24 hours later, they came for me. Now, I don't understand it. I drove down in the dark. I wore my old black from head to toe. I saw no one and they never saw me.
But you left a fingerprint behind. According to the report, there was your visiting card. Weren't you wearing gloves?
Well, of course I was. Do you think I'd do a job...
All right, Slapsy. Save your professional pride. They'll get you for breaking and entering, but not for murder. I've got to work fast. Buster can't believe that you wouldn't grass on him at some time. Car?
Operations here, sir.
Yes, Ops.
Sir Edward Farley, aged 68, next of kin his sister, Mrs. Margaret Chadwick, wife of Leonard Chadwick, managing director, North British Investment Corporation. Estate worth about $500,000. 1/4 to his sister, 1/4 to nephews and nieces, 1/4 to the Lifeboat Institute, and the rest to be divided amongst his servants.
Thanks, Ops. But what about Burford? I'm still waiting to set eyes on him.
Well, nothing's come through.
What?
No, but when?
What is it, Ops? I can't hear you.
Sorry, sir. Bad news. Charles Burford, was found dead this morning. He'd been shot through the heart.
Oh, no! Get me transport, quick.
Where's the body?
He was found dead in his office, sir.
All right. Now, listen up.
Yes, sir.
I want every man jack on the job. I don't know how big this is, but I want a search warrant. I want our best men to go through Burford's home and his office. I want to know everything about his business. I want a link established between the Farley shooting and the murder of Burford, and I want it fast.
All right, sir.
Look, you get on with that while I have a word with the Gloucester Manor. Can't you see, Super? Instead of implicating Mitchell, this shooting of Burford seems to confirm his story.
It confirms that Mitchell is part of a conspiracy. It confirms that he's prepared to see a second murder done so that Burford couldn't give the lie to all this nonsense about a frame-up.
Look, tell me about Sir Edward. Come on, Super. Did he have any enemies?
Oh, forgive me, Cara. Can't you see the husband and wife work this out between them?
Yeah, but who killed Burford? Mitchell's wife? Oh. Look. I understand that the butler informed your patch of Farley's murder. Hmm?
That's right. He's a fine man, Marsden. Known him for years. His wife, Bessie, acts as cook general. They were all away for a long weekend.
What, everyone? Gardeners, other employees?
That's right. Sir Edward is a town flat, and according to his sister, he was staying in London that night. It's all so obvious, Carr. Mitchell gets word that the house is going to be empty, cases the joint plans his robbery, is interrupted by Sir Edward, and so Mitchell commits murder to escape.
Have you got a list of the things that were taken?
Well, I've got it here, yes.
All right.
We are now clean sweep. £500 in banknotes, £8,000 worth of bonds. They even took some ledgers that were no value to anyone.
Look, do you mind if I case the joint?
Not a bit. I'll send you over with Sergeant Hunter.
Farley Hall was a magnificent example of Elizabethan architecture. As I drove through the wide avenue of trees, marveled at the well-kept lawns and gardens, my subconscious mind was working overtime. I began to evolve a theory which seemed to fit the circumstances. A theory which was given substance by the butler.
What I found most extraordinary, sir, and very sad, was that 12th century Venetian bowl which was smashed to smithereens, and it was nowhere near safe.
Would you please show me where the bowl was kept normally and where it was when you opened up the hall on Monday morning?
If you'll come with me, sir.
Sure. How long have you known Sir Edward?
We're of the same age, sir. Came to work here as a pantry boy. Mm-hmm. And my father, Mr. Searle, was head gardener to Sir Edward's father.
I see.
The bowl stood on that marble pillar, and as you observe, sir, it's some distance from the study where this murderer was interrupted. I thought at first there must have been some shots fired. Bowl, they smashed to smithereens just where we're standing now.
And there's a communicating door between here and the study. When you left on Saturday morning, was that door shut?
Oh, yes, sir, it was.
Well, I can explain the mystery of the smashed Venetian bowl. Someone opened that door and then picked up the bowl and threw it to the ground.
But what purpose, sir?
To frighten Mitchell. Now, would a man like Mitchell want to steal some book ledgers, bonds he knows he wouldn't be able to cash?
You mean the man they caught, sir?
I'm sorry, I was thinking aloud. I shall require every member of the household to make a written statement telling me where they were between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight. Somebody, the person who crashed that bowl, knows his way around this house.
Surely, sir, you don't...
Routine, my friend, but a very necessary routine.
Are you asking me to reopen the file on the Farley homicide?
Yes, sir, I am. Now, let's not quarrel about this. You wouldn't want to be faced with an acquittal, would you? It wouldn't look good to the Director of Public Prosecutions.
Acquittal? Nonsense.
Look, a clever defense lawyer will make mincemeat of the evidence you've got against the prisoner. You can't even prove that he was here at the time of the murder.
What about his fingerprints? Isn't that enough?
No, sir, it isn't. You know as well as I that fingerprints can remain for months if untouched. You're forgetting Burford's murder. I might as well tell you that I'm prepared to testify for the defense that it is my considered judgment that Mitchell is a victim of a frame-up and not part of a conspiracy. Now, what's happened to those ledgers? Assuming he robbed the safe, why can't the ledgers... Ledgers. Ledgers. Where did you say Sir Edward's city offices were? Was it usual for Sir Edward to keep ledgers at his country home?
No, not at all. He specifically asked me to send the ledgers with one of our messengers to his car. Sir Edward said that he needed them for a... Well, that was a strange word he used.
What word?
Confrontation, he called it.
Confrontation, eh?
Mm.
Did you know where the ledgers were being taken?
Oh, yes. I heard him tell Smith, his driver, that they were to be taken to his town flat.
Now, as his personal secretary, Mrs. Harrison, have you no inkling at all? There must have been something in those ledgers.
I've no idea. Except I felt Sir Edward was very absent-minded and worried-looking over the last week or so.
Huh?
Perhaps you'd like to question Mr. Searle. He's in charge of the investments department. Or Mr. Chadwick. They were in deep consultation these last few weeks.
Good of you to see me, Mr. Chadwick.
Not a bit. You said on the telephone that you were from Scotland Yard.
Yes, that's right, sir. The investigation is still continuing.
Yes, but according to what I heard on the radio and see in the newspapers, they've arrested some thug. How does Scotland Yard come into this?
We've taken over the inquiries. We feel that there's a very close link between the death of your brother-in-law and the murder of someone known to the Yard named Burford.
Oh, impossible. I saw pictures of Burford's business on television. Now, how could my brother-in-law be in any way connected with this thug, Burford?
Well, that's what we're trying to find out. As I say, we think the two murders are linked.
Really, Inspector, my brother-in-law led a most exemplary life. And from what they're writing in the newspapers, this man, Burford, has something to do with the underworld.
Well, that's true enough. But we have established that the man accused of shooting Sir Edward was imprisoned at the same time as Burford. And they were seen together a few days before your brother-in-law's death.
Oh, yes, I see. Well, now I understand. Was this fellow Burford a receiver of stolen property?
No, sir, I don't think so. Cars, possibly, but we've been watching him for some time.
Oh, but does it really matter? I mean, Burford is dead. Mitchell shoots poor Edward.
We're not convinced of that. That's why the case has been reopened.
But it says in the newspapers that they found Mitchell's fingerprints on the cigarette lighter.
Not sufficient evidence, Mr. Chadwick. I wonder if you'd be kind enough to come with me to Scotland Yard.
Whatever for?
I'm going to take a statement from you.
From me?
Yes, sir. Besides which, it'll be easier to search this house while you're making your statement.
But is this some sort of joke?
No, sir. I'm not accusing you of murder. Yet. But I think you're withholding information, and I warn you that anything you say will be taken down and maybe used in evidence.
Incredible. Unbelievable.
Look at this, Super. The latest X-Branch report, Chadwick was seen frequently at all the top gambling clubs, including the Phoenix, run by Burford. Now, our fraud squad boys have been through the ledgers. He's robbed Farley Investments of nearly $500,000.
Of course, finding the ledgers in his house put paid to his chances of an acquittal. What a terrible thing to do.
Yes, indeed, it was terrible. But an old fruity like Burford must have known his life was in danger. If a man like Chadwick is prepared to murder his brother-in-law, surely he'd think nothing of committing another murder to silence the only man who could betray him.
I suppose you're right.
It all fits like a jigsaw puzzle. Sir Edward discovers the swindle. Chadwick suggests that they discuss it at Farley Hall, as everyone was away on holiday.
Yes.
Now, in the meantime, Chadwick arranges for the unfortunate Mitchell to go seeking non-existent love letters.
Well, Clark, when do you think Chadwick actually shot Sir Edward?
Oh, we know. The post-mortem reveals that Sir Edward was shot at about 8 o'clock. The killer stays with the corpse, waiting for Mitchell to break into the house. As soon as Mitchell opens the safe, crash goes the Venetian bowl, away runs Mitchell, and away goes Chadwick, having framed the unfortunate cat burglar. Luckily, you supplied me with a vital clue to Chadwick's guilt.
Oh? What was that?
Well, Super, you see... When I first spoke to my colleague, he said...
Well, we've got a beautiful fingerprint on a cigarette lighter. But we're keeping it dark until the trial.
And yet, when I was questioning Chadwick, he said...
But it says in the newspapers that they found Mitchell's fingerprints on the cigarette lighter.
Not true. All that was mentioned were fingerprints, nothing about a lighter. The murderous Chadwick borrowed Sir Edward's lighter, gave it to Burford, who managed to obtain Mitchell's fingerprint. Later, Mitchell remembered how Burford boasted of the lighter, asked Mitchell to feel its weight. Oh, well, what happened to Mitchell? Well... They decided not to proceed with a breaking and entering charge, which pleased Rosie, Mitchell, of course, and me.
The Epic Casebook was produced by Michael Silver for the makers of Epic Pure Sunflower Oil, maple margarine, yum-yum peanut butter, and Niblet's cheese twists with Hugh Russ as Inspector Carr. Listen again next Thursday night at 9:30 to another exciting story from our Epic Casebook.